Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, talking to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown, overlooking majestic Buckhead, in the heart of Dixie, in the heart of Atlanta. Well, we're 3 weeks out now from the election, and I'm finding that not many people want to talk about politics, which is very understandable for the people who would, for the most part, call into my show because they would be the ones that are interested in returning America to American exceptionalism, returning America to traditional values, and helping us fulfill our destiny, which is to be the greatest nation that was ever created. The American electorate chose a different path. I know that there are those that believe that Romney actually won the election and it was taken by fraud. And I'm certain that there was a great deal of fraud involved, but I don't believe it was enough to swing the election. I believe that there are enough people in America who actually want Obama to be president, even though he did the worst job of any president who has ever lived. Our 10th president was inaugurated. He was an old man, and to prove he was still fit, he gave a two-hour address in the middle of January in Washington in his shirt sleeves when it was bitter cold to prove his manliness. Got a fever, pneumonia, laid in bed for a month, never did one thing as president other than being sworn in. And he died, and Tyler fulfilled his term. In that 1 month, the man did nothing. I believe he was a better president than Barack Hussein Obama. All right. Now, I would like to talk a little bit about how a man like that could become president. What is behind something of that nature? It seems to me as if the people that I know were promoting Romney and making an appeal to reason, because the second half of the second term of George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush 2, was such a failure in the eyes of many because he was such a polarizing figure. When Obama came out of nowhere with no record and a toothy smile and a grin and, you know, a slogan, yes, we can, change is on the way. That was a very appealing message to people who were tired of war, who were afraid of what was happening to the economy, and who just didn't like Bush. There are a lot of them. The young people got electrified and pulled in, and there was this euphoria that swept the nation. that brought Obama in the first term. That didn't happen the second time. He promised that he would bring us all together. He promised he would be the most transparent president in American history. And he wasn't. He didn't bring us together. He further polarized us. He's the least transparent president in American history. There's a cloud over where he was born. He sat in a church with a black liberation theologist, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, for 20 years and never heard a thing, never listened, just didn't any of it. And when Jeremiah Wright said, not God bless America, God damn America, evidently Barack Obama didn't pay any attention to that, because that would be so negative that people wouldn't elect him. And the second time around, Jeremiah Wright wasn't an issue. Lots of things weren't issues. The press, as usual, loves a liberal, but it went beyond that. They didn't do their job where it came to investigating either Benghazi or Fast and Furious or any of the other White House scandals that really are going to rip apart this second administration. They think this stuff will go away, and you know what? It just might. I remember supporting Richard Nixon and voting for him in 1972. I was a very young man. It was the second election that I was old enough to vote for, and I voted. And I really did not like all of the stuff that just kept pointing to Watergate, and I said, this is so trivial. Why in the world are they just keep pushing this and pushing it and pushing it? Well, finally, you know, it came out that, Nixon had secret tapes and that he had erased some of the things, which was obstruction of justice and a crime, and his support evaporated and he had to resign. The disgrace nearly killed the man, and he did make a resurgence later, in the same way that Bill Clinton has made a resurgence after the Monica Lewinsky scandals. Is that going to be the future for Barack Obama? Is the Benghazi scandal going to just keep on and on and on and show that he knew things immediately and that he ordered that those two SEALs not be saved? I don't know. I would think, let me just say this, if it were another president, I believe that we would have this stuff just go on and on and on and on, and we would have the same result as there was in Watergate. It was something that was very destructive to the country. And Gerald Ford came in, and because Nixon's vice president had to resign also over a different scandal, Spiro Agnew, Gerald Ford came in. He had been appointed by Nixon and wasn't even elected in. So we have a caretaker president. You could see why in 1976 the country said, well, I want somebody that's different. And so they voted for a toothy, smiling guy, Jimmy Carter, who said he was going to change things, which, of course, he didn't, and he was a terrible failure. And he lost resoundingly to Ronald Reagan because he was inept. Barack Obama's inept. He's incompetent. He didn't do anything of worthwhile value his first term, and yet there were people by the millions who still believe in every single thing that he says and excuse each and every one of his failures by explaining it away as something that it isn't. How does that happen? How do people put themselves in a mindset that would allow them to excuse enormous incompetence, to say that that there's no, and we haven't operated within a budget for the whole time that he was president for the first term, and here he's starting the second, it's going to be more of the same. How's that okay? Could you run your family without looking at the checkbook for 4 years? Just write checks. If there isn't money, you know, which there isn't, you know, just print more. Obama can do that. We can't. How does that work? And how do so many people still support him? When he won, and really won easily, I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. On this program, every week, I referred to the debt calendar that said, okay, the United States right now is in debt $15.4 trillion. And we went all the way up to $16.2 trillion with Obama being responsible for $6 trillion of it in his 4 years where he didn't have a checkbook. Well, he had a checkbook, where he had, where he didn't have a ledger, where it kept track so that things were balanced. How does somebody vote for somebody that irresponsible? I wasn't the only one, obviously, that pointed to the out-of-control debt. That was a major factor. I've been thinking about it. Here's what I think. The people who voted for Obama, they don't care. They don't care about the debt. They don't care about the $16 trillion. Guess why? They don't pay taxes. It's not their problem. It's the problem of people like you and me who do pay taxes, and a lot of them. The people who support him believe that we are the enemy. I've come to believe that from the moment they became successful at splitting the country into between the haves and the have-nots, his victory was assured. But at what price? What price does it cost? What is our future? One of my Christian friends called after the election, just very happy that Obama had won. You heard me right. One of my Christian friends, somebody that I've known since I was a kid, that has been supporting Obama has been created a real strain in our relationship, if you want to know the truth. But he said, well, you know, now that he's won, he's God's anointed. I should fall in line and, you know, support God's anointed man. I can't do that. I don't believe it. I do believe that he's there as a chastisement for us, but do I believe that he is going to lead our nation well? No. He has. I mean, we've got 4 years where I know what he's done. I know that he, you know, that he does not support traditional values. I know that he is really a bitter enemy with Netanyahu. They hate each other. And he's very pro-Arab and Muslim. He loved the Arab Spring and was very supportive of the overthrow of Mubarak and of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. Now, there is a theory, two theories actually, of what's really behind all the stuff in Benghazi. One of them, and let me just say right to begin with, these are theories, not evidence for them, just speculation that this is what's behind it, because there's a cover-up. They aren't telling the truth about things. They aren't being open about it. They're not being forthcoming. You know, Hillary Clinton said it was all her responsibility, but she's been, you know, all over the world to try and avoid testifying before Congress, which she's going to have to do. If frankly, if it weren't for Petraeus and the sexual part, the scandal part of it, you know, no telling, it may have gone nowhere. But here are the two theories. One, they didn't have adequate protection for the consulate there in Benghazi on purpose, because they wanted the ambassador Stevens to be kidnapped, so that Obama, before the election, could cut a deal with the Egyptians that would help them release Stevens, making him a hero, in exchange for giving the blind sheikh who had tried to take down the Twin Towers World Trade Center in 1994 and has been in prison ever since. And that would give that would be a victory for the new leader in Egypt. You know, with the help of the Libyans, and it would make Obama, excuse me, look very presidential and make him look like he really knew what he was doing and was a great world leader. And if that came out, that'd be the end of it. The American people, even the ones, the have-nots, the people that that voted for him, would not tolerate that. Pretty cynical, isn't it? Hard to believe that an American president would even consider doing something like that. It may not be true. We don't know what's happening yet. There's a second theory, and that is that Obama gave weapons to the rebels fighting Gaddafi illegally, and that those weapons were being used against us at the consulate, and that was going to come out. So that's why they tried to, you know, spin it off and make it the problem of the the video clip. Well, you know that's not true. I mean, and why they did that is because there's something far more sinister behind it. If it's not one of these two things, it's something comparable from the get-go. They tried to deflect from this and to blame this poor movie producer who they ended up having thrown in jail against their civil liberties, I might add. And they, you know, went so far as to create ads in Pakistan talking about how we had nothing to do with this video clip, as if it had anything to do with the terror, but it didn't. Obviously it didn't. So now here we are, and we're in the middle of that with the Fast and Furious and Holder still not making much progress. The economy is spurting along. Some parts of it are actually doing a little bit better. This isn't because of Obama. This is in spite of Obama, because America is a very strong nation. Poor leadership can take us to our knees, but it probably can't knock us out, not even 8 years of it. But now, let me ask you this. What do we do in the interim? We have a man who's leading us, who is godless, who's narcissistic, who doesn't believe in our values, who lies when the truth is serving better. Pathological liar, really. And even 4 years from now, these evil miscreants have found a way to take and keep power. And that is to use the power of the ballot with people who are functionally illiterate. Give them a little slogan. Win New York, Illinois, Michigan, California, and Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, which is, you get those states and the rest of the Eastern Seaboard, you only have to fill in a few more spots to win. We're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. It's not something that's going to just take care of itself. And having a better candidate than Romney, who was really, as it turned out, to be a first-rate human being and skilled and as really as good as we're going to be able to get. And he lost. In the Electoral College, he lost by 100 votes. That's a blowout. It's hard to beat an incumbent. Now, that I'll give you. But we've never reelected a president who's had this high unemployment. The only reason it even came below 8% is because they just changed the figures. They'll, they'll recalibrate, and I mean, it's much higher. There's nothing about what Barack Hussein Obama has done with our economy that is of value. And the reason is, I mean, there are a lot of people. I saw 2016, does he want to destroy us? Boy, that's as cynical as it gets. Perhaps, I think probably a better explanation is that he just is incompetent. He doesn't have a clue about how to run the economy. not the first clue. He's never done anything. He's never had a job where he's had to be responsible for money ever, and now he's responsible for the largest economy in the world, in the history of the world. Well, predictably, he's done a poor job. He's going to continue to do a poor job because he doesn't know how to do a good one. Plus, he surrounds himself with left-wing ideologues who don't have any better ideas than he does. Ronald Reagan, when he was elected, had an idea and a vision for where the country should go. What he did was hire a team of highly skilled men and women, allow them to do their job, to try and get the economy back from where we had interest rates were like at 22 and 23%, and the unemployment was just as high as it is now. And it was a mess. I mean, I remember waiting in the gas line. It was awful. It was like New York. Well, what are we going to do now? Where are we to go? I don't have all the answers. I'm not sure I have any of them. I know that we can't survive the way that we're doing forever. Do I think our nation is going to just like collapse? Well, some people think so. I don't. I think we're much stronger than that. But I'm not sure either. I know this. The Obama administration will do everything it can to continue hiding, to not come forward with the truth, to cover up as much as they can, to overregulate us as much as they can, to stifle us, and to let Big Brother, federal government, continue to intrude in our lives. And I think if you want to pray about anything, pray for the health of Justice Scalia and Thomas and Kennedy and Roberts, and that they're able to continue. Because if Obama gets to appoint another couple of justices to it, like Kagan and Sotomayor, very weak justices, by the way, we're going to have a court that's going to be left-wing for a generation, and the impact of Barack Hussein Obama, the blight on our nation, will continue. I'd like to, to me, it's amazing that a man who was a state senator, became a senator, and then 2 years later is the president of the United States, and he's been here 4 years now, and we still don't know anything about him. What kind of power can do that? Is that something that somebody as wealthy as Soros can actually accomplish? Or is it more? Is this a spiritual problem? I wonder. I don't know. I'm asking. It is a consideration, and a big one. That's all the time we have for tonight. I want to thank you and say God bless you, and God help the United States of America. Good night.